With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Most of us, now let's be honest, most of us think, I'm saved by grace. Now, stewardship, you know, that's something some Christians do really well, some Christians don't do so well, and you know, I'll think about that later. This parable teaches you, number one, lifestyle stewardship is not an option. Stewardship for those who know Christ is not an option, it's an assignment.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us the second half of the message, The King and Christian Stewardship in the Kingdom, Part 2. We continue in our series, Lifestyle Stewardship. We often think that a successful investor is someone who has built a large stock portfolio and amassed great wealth. But Jesus says that truly successful investors are those who have wisely invested their lives towards serving Him as faithful, focused, and productive stewards. In the Lord's parable in Luke 19, two wise and faithful stewards who followed this path were richly and disproportionately rewarded. But a third servant's laziness and lack of productivity revealed his contempt for his master arising from a foolish, wicked heart. Lifestyle Christian stewardship is not optional for the believer. It is a divine calling, a divine assignment, and a divine opportunity. If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Luke chapter 19 and verses 11 through 27. Here again is Harry Reeder with the second half of the message, The King and Christian Stewardship in the Kingdom, Part 2.
Now, folks, this is crucial. You'll never get to Christian stewardship until we get to this first element, stewards own nothing. I know it says on the title, you own your house, but as a Christian, you know I don't. I don't. Stewards own nothing. Secondly, the master in stewardship, the master owns everything. Thirdly, the master allocates what each steward is to have and instructs us on where and how to do business. And then instructs us on where and how to do business. Then number four, the steward is accountable to the master. The steward will be accountable to the master for what was allocated to him and the fulfillment of the instructions. Number five, the steward's objective and desire in the day of accountability, that day of judgment of stewardship, is three things. I want to be faithful, I want to be focused, and I want to be productive. Yes. Okay, this is not a political speech, but as I read this text, God's a capitalist. And I'm convinced he's a capitalist. Let me just ask you, go back here. What did he give them? What did the king give them? He gave them capital. And then what does it say? He says this. He says, Lord, your mina has made productive 10 minas more. Go back to the previous verse. He ordered these servants to whom, go back to verse 15. He ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they had, what? Gained. He expects them to take what he has given and be faithful, be focused, and then be productive in what he has given. And so that's what he calls us to be as good stewards. He calls us to be faithful, focused, and to be productive. In creation, God made you to be a steward. You were created to be a steward. God made man in his image, male and female. And then God said to them, this place I've built for you, fill it up. Be fruitful and multiply. Secondly, have dominion over it. Rule over it in my name. You are a steward that I have appointed over the house I made for you to live in. It's called the earth. And then what did he say? He says, subdue it and have dominion over it. Rule and reign over it. Keep it, subdue it, tend it, defend it, and fill it. I made you as my stewards in my image. That's what God did for us. And by the way, you see this running throughout the scripture. You see not only Joseph, let me give you another one, Elijah. He then mentored who? Elisha. And then what did Elisha want? Let me have your mantle. I want to be a steward of this prophecy, the ministry of the prophets. And let me have a double portion of your spirit that I might be faithful. I could do this time and time again throughout scripture. God created us to be stewards. Has anybody been listening to discussions on climate change? Anybody been hearing that? It's really interesting. And I don't know about you, but when I hear all these discussions, I've got this, oh boy, that sounds good. And then I got this, oh man, I don't want any part of that. Now let me tell you my problem. I don't want any part of it because it's always couched in some form of pantheism. Like my mother earth. This earth is not my mother. And time is not my father. But I'll tell you what this earth is. It's my home. And my daddy and mama taught me to take care of your home. And God made us to take care of the home. Subdue it. Keep it. Fill it. Have dominion over it. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be stewards of the creation. And we're called to be stewards of our redemption. That's why Paul keeps saying, this is the stewardship that's been given to me, the stewardship of our charge. Time and time again, they use that phrase, we are stewards. Elders, in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, you're called stewards over Christ's church. Stewardship is built throughout all of the scriptures and all of our redemption. So we're not only stewards, and not only is stewardship a biblical concept, we were created to be stewards, we are redeemed to be stewards. Well, what kind of stewards? We've got Christian stewardship. We are not our own. We own nothing because we're owned in Christian stewardship. The Lord owns us. Our master is Jesus, not just any master, it's Jesus. Jesus has allocated to us the resources for the issues of life whereby we are to do business for the Lord. We're to take care of business. When I was first married, I guess I just thought I had to get a bunch of jobs. I had married this woman that was really high maintenance, and so I got three jobs, and one of them, I sold life insurance. My daddy did, my granddaddy did, so I figured I ought to. And so I went to work for Life and Casualty of Tennessee, and my granddaddy's brother, my uncle Lonnie, called me over, and he said, all right, bring your stuff and talk to me about a policy. I'll have Aunt Mary, your aunt, there. I said, okay, so I went over. I stumbled and fumbled and mumbled and all of this, and finally, after a while, he stopped, and he said, Harry, he said, you know, I really love you. He said, and I love you, Daddy, and I love you, Mama. I love you, three sisters. Did I tell you I love you? I love you. I love you, Granddaddy, my brother. He said, but this is the worst exhibition of business I've ever seen in my life. He said, son, if you're going to do business, then take care of business. That has stuck with me the rest of my life. And if we're going to do business for Jesus, then let's take care of business. Well done, good and faithful servant, as a steward for the Lord. So we own nothing. We're owned. Our master owns everything, including us. He's allocated. Where does he instruct us how to deal with what he's allocated? In his word. That's why we go to his word. Are we accountable to him? Yes, at the judgment day. What do we want to hear on that day? Well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be faithful, focused, and we want to be productive. We want to have taken what he's given to us, and we want to have made an impact in the kingdom by his grace and for his glory. We don't want to waste the resources or our time that Jesus has entrusted to us. And that means we want to do Christian stewardship. And that Christian stewardship is that he saved us to be stewards. We're not, listen, folks, we're not stewards to be saved. He saved us to be stewards. We're stewards because we love our Savior who saved us. That's not all we are. When Jesus saved you, he has given you multiple vocations, multiple calling. You're a discipler. You're an evangelist. You're an ambassador. You're a worshiper. You're a saint. You are, God has made multiple callings in your life. One of those, a crucial one, is he has called you. Every one of us, the master has allocated resources, instructed us with his word, and he says to us, take care of business. For the king until the king returns. And that stewardship is not only Christian stewardship, we do it because we love him. It is a stewardship that's permeated by Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I not only own nothing, I don't even own my life. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and who gave himself for me. And this is a lifestyle of Christian stewardship. Do you know why everywhere Joseph went, he was made a steward? Jacob made him a steward and gave him a robe to affirm it. Potiphar made him a steward. A prison warden made him a steward. A Pharaoh made him a steward. The reason why Joseph was made a steward everywhere he went is because that's the way Joseph lived, as a steward of the living God. He was given assignments for stewardship because his life was given to the Lord as stewardship. And therefore, that meant all of life, his relationships. And this is where I look forward to drilling down with you. His relationships. I have a relationship with Cindy. I've got to be a good steward of that. I've got to be a good steward of that. You know, I still can't imagine. She said, yes, she did. Now you're stuck. For 51 years, stuck. But I remember when we were first converted. I mean, I was first married. I was converted not long after that, right? So I remember waking up in the middle of the night and looking at my wife there in the bed and thinking, oh my, this is for life. This is not the big date. This is life. Now, I know you ladies are sitting there getting all huffy with me right now. I know you are. But just go talk to her. She woke up in the middle of the night and looked at me. I've never asked her, what did you think when you looked at me? I'm afraid to ask that. I wake up more at night now than I used to. And I look. I used to think the rest of my life, I now think how little of my life I've got left to live with her. But it's a life to steward a relationship. It's a life. I've got 3 kids. I parented them. They're up and gone. And I'm still parenting. Not really. I'm just kidding. But I've got my kids. Now I've got grandkids. I have the extraordinary privilege of relationships all over this congregation. I'm just a pastoral relationship. I have relationships with the elders and deacons. I've got relationships in a presbytery. I've got relationships in my denomination. I've got relationships all over the place. And they're all tied usually to my responsibilities. I'm responsible as a husband. God's outlined me what I'm supposed to do as a husband. He's outlined what I'm supposed to do in my responsibility as a father. He's outlined what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. And then not only do I have responsibilities and relationships and they're entwined, but then he's given me resources through which to accomplish those responsibilities and relationships in my stewardship. He's given me time. And there's something we've all got the same amount of, right? I mean, how many hours do you have in a day? Guess what? We all got it. How many days in a week? 7? And you were born into this world, God having ordained a finite number of sunsets and sunrises. There's coming a day somewhere, I'm getting out of bed and I won't come back to it. We have a finite number. Before I was born, my days were numbered. Now, every day I spend it. How do I spend it? 24 hours I spend it. To get 2 sermons to you every day, that's a responsibility and a relationship as a pastor. To minister the primary means of grace, the preaching of God's word, knowing that it's through the foolishness of preaching that men or women are being saved. He has given me time to do that. It takes about 2 sermons. It takes about 36, 38 hours. Now, where do I find it? How do I deal with it? Where do I get it? But once I've done it, I don't get that back. $10, I can get it back. I don't get that back. So know your responsibilities. Know your relationships. Know your resources. You've got time. You've got talents. You've got physical talents. You've got spiritual talents. You've got finances. You've got all of those things that you then use in the context of your responsibilities and your relationships. And it's God's word that guides you. It's God's word that gives you your commitments. I've vowed. I've got responsibilities. I took vows as a minister. I took vows as a member. I took vows in baptism. I took vows in a marriage. I took vows in my commitment to do a job. I take vows in a court. I take vows, and now that's a stewardship that's given to me. And the same thing is true of you that's true of me. So we have these responsibilities, these relationships, and in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of that, guess what else? We've got experiences, blessings, adversity, difficulty, sickness, failure, opposition, and you're supposed to be a steward of that. Do you know why Joseph is such a good steward? He not only was a steward over a beautiful coat that was given to him, he was a steward over the slavery that was imposed to him. He was a steward over a here is a man who had a kangaroo court, false charges, and then he got put in jail. What did he do when he first came into jail? He didn't go die in a pile. He was a steward of 2 prisoners and began to minister to them. And then he got one of them that he interpreted their dreams. God gave him a talent to interpret divine revelation through a dream. And the one that was supposed to remember him when he got out did what? He forgot him. He didn't go die in a pile. He kept being a good steward, so much so that the prison guard put him over and made him the trustee of the entire prison. Then he gets to the palace. He was a trustee in the pit. He was trustworthy as a steward in the pit. That's why he got to the palace. He was trustworthy as a slave in Potiphar's house, and then God put him in a palace. He was a steward over adversity, over traitors, over everything. He stewarded all of his life, and my goodness, if he did it, how much more do you see our Savior as a steward in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's betrayed? as a steward when he is lashed to the point of the loss of his life, as a steward at the cross as he takes our sins upon himself to save us from our sins. A steward is a steward in all of life and with your very life. So here's the takeaway, and then I'll close in prayer. Lifestyle Christian stewardship is not an option. It is a divine calling. It is a divine assignment. It is a divine opportunity. It's not drudgery. It's an exciting journey. It's not selective. You don't minimize. Well, hey, I'm a good steward. I give the tithe. The other 90% is mine. You missed the message. I give the Lord the Lord's day. The other six are mine. You missed the message. I give my marriage to the Lord, but everything else is mine. You missed the message. God has given us multiple callings in the Christian life. But stewardship is a divine assignment. It is not optional. It is a divine calling that is exciting. It isn't drudgery. It is a journey of excitement to see what God does as you steward tough moments. As an elder named Jim Elliott stewarded the moment in the death of a 39-year-old wife facing raising four children, and the way he addressed it with grief that was informed by God's word converted a young man that was watching him whose life was converted and changed, and that was mine. And so that stewardship goes on and on and on. And then in God's providence, 15 years later, I circle back around and I get the opportunity to minister to those four daughters and their glorious Christian life. Do you not see? That's why Piper writes the book, Don't Waste Your Cancer, Steward It. That you and I are called to a stewardship ministry in which we, shall I just ask you this? Then I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask you, do you own nothing? Judgment Day honesty. You're going to have to one day give Judgment Day honesty. Do you own nothing? Does Christ own everything? Do you go to His Word to find out how to do business? Do you long for the generosity of not only His redeeming work when He came the first time, but His magnificent, astonishing generosity when He comes again? Well done, good and faithful servant. Steward it. There's so many illustrations. Can I just give you one? 16 years ago, at the time we weren't doing Bridge to Life, we were doing Evangelism Explosion. And Dan Allison was training. They went out to do visitation. They stewarded the names that were given to them. And then they ran out. And they ran out of, started running out of everything. But they were out, and they knew the gospel. This is a moment. Let's steward it. So they went to an apartment, knocked on the door. Hi, can we ask you some questions? We're from Briarwood Presbyterian Church. We'd like to do a survey. The guy standing there with a beer, language that I can't repeat at the pulpit. Yeah, come on in. Another guy is in there also with his beer. And they brought him in. And they began to talk. And finally, they, after three or four questions, said, may we ask you two more questions? If you were to die tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity? The one man with frivolity and blasphemy, but the other man was quiet. He said, yes, I do, and I don't want to be there. Can you tell me how to get to heaven? They led him to Christ. Then they noticed they weren't alone. They could sense somebody was listening. As the bedroom door cracked open, a young lady walked out, and she said, God sent you here. I've run away from my daddy and mama. I went to a bar to get picked up, and I was tonight. And I was brought back here, and I knew what was going to happen. then you knocked on the door. Can I pray with you? Give my life to Jesus and go home. A steward. Well, we ran out of stuff. Nah, we're a steward. Well, we ran out of name. Nah, we're a steward. Stewarding in crisis, in adversity, in challenges, all of life. I want to do business for Jesus. And I want to be a steward in and of His kingdom. Because the King saved me. And it is astonishing what we will do when He comes back. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Lifestyle Christian stewardship is not optional for the believer. It is a divine calling, a divine assignment, and a divine opportunity. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request The King and Christian Stewardship in the Kingdom Part 2, or simply ask for message number 15349. Again, that's message number 15349. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD along with shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. One of the greatest joys in the Christian life is raising a family. One of the biggest challenges in the Christian life is raising a family. Pastor Reader's series, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, will help equip your family to experience life triumphantly in Christ. This 12 sermon series album, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, is available for just $36. It's easy to order. Go online to briarwood.org/7essentials. That's briarwood.org/7 and the word essentials. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.